This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Hi, welcome to the ILTA Practice Management Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about how to market existing firm technology for maximum adoption. I'm Dan Pratt, IT Business Relationship Manager at Holland & Knight. And with me, I have Luke Schneppelin, Manager of Learning and Development at Chuck Hardy & Bacon.
Hey, Dan, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Are we all set? I think you got some questions for me. I'm excited to talk about marketing firm technology in this day and age with everyone working remote, where I realize we should acknowledge that this is recorded during the 2020 pandemic, so the answers might be a little bit different.
Right. Yeah, and really the focus of this, you know, the IT department spends millions of dollars every year on software. The people who champion those projects are super pumped about them, but, you know, the people who don't know, who are just, you know, the associates who are just cranking out their documents, you know, don't necessarily know that this new software is coming and going to help them. So I just wanted to talk about a couple of strategies that you use at your firm to get the word out. So I'll just jump right in. How did you get the word out about the last tool your team deployed?
So I think I'll answer this one, not specifically about a single tool, but in general. The communication tools to distribute information about whatever you may be rolling out are key. And I think, obviously, if you can show someone something, you know, really give them a deep dive, explain why it works, maybe even connect them with the vendor for what they're looking to use or have questions about, or maybe brought to you to look up. But I think in today's environment, really just a succinct message, letting them know, hey, this is available. You might want to try it. This might help you with this. Case in point would be Zoom. This is something we've used at Shook for a long time, a number of years, but not everyone had used it. And we went to a model now where people had to use it and or were hearing about it from other folks. So I think just letting them know, here are the basic things to get your account set up. Here are some videos that my team has created. Maybe you're hosting meetings. Maybe you're scheduling meetings for someone else. And keeping all that information really in an easy to find place or a succinct message. And then also working with your IT department to make it easy to deploy. So using tools like the Software Center really helped us successfully launch Zoom. And I know I said I wasn't going to talk about a single tool, but that was the one that comes to mind. You know, and we were prepared and it went very well.
Cool. And so when you're deploying something like that, are you measuring how many people are using those tools? Are you measuring engagement?
Yeah, I think that a lot of tools, applications, software allow you the ability to see who's using it, whether it's license-based. Zoom in particular has a really awesome dashboard for visibility into what meetings are happening, you know, whether they're using the phone, showing their computer, voice over IP. Also from an administrative perspective, just kind of monitoring, is everyone doing what they say they're doing with these applications? Where is info coming from? Where is info going to? So yes, we measure engagement from a firm-wide level and then also look for areas where maybe someone's a super user and use them to kind of push forward the technology and offer advanced tips and tricks and maybe leverage them to try out some of the new things. And then make sure too that if they are using the tool a lot, that they know how to use it correctly. You know, they might be churning out thousands of documents or holding hundreds of meetings, but if they're not aware that, hey, this button might do something that they're doing, you know, on a manual level one by one, or this thing in this application might help all future things go a lot smoother, you know, that can really help. And having just a human touch and reaching out to those people individually can really help leverage the quality of the adoption across your organization. That was a really good answer, I think, at the end there. What do you think?
I think that was great.
I ended it well. I was really struggling for a minute, but I think I ended it well. And we don't need to edit that out.
And you perfectly segued into my next question, you know, because there are plenty of like kind of basic things that you find out that people don't know. It drives me crazy as an IT professional to like see somebody do something, you know, in a manual way that they could have been doing automatically. You know, like Excel is a classic example with like VLOOKUP. People often don't know that they can do a VLOOKUP and will just copy and paste. Or I'll shout out my new favorite tool in Excel 365, which is XLOOKUP, which can go both V and H.
Ooh.
You know, so you always run across these things as an IT person and you're like, oh man, we should create a tip about that. But you know, sometimes it's something that everybody except this one person knew. You know, do you have ways of like trying to suss out the knowledge of your user base at all? Or is it just kind of like you hear a good tip and you send out a tip sheet and you know, that's what it is?
Yeah, I think that if you can bake it into the training that you do, so tips are a dime a dozen. And with each iteration of every application, there's new tips, there's new shortcuts, and you can only remember so many. Unless you're married to it or, you know, you really, really use it every single day. I think the best way is if you can make it part of the daily process. So even if it's like Windows L to lock your keyboard to make your computer safe when you leave the office, you know, simple things like that, if you can cross it into not just the application you might be training on or showing, but really give them a reason to use it. Potentially kind of hold over their heads, here's how much time this might save you, or here's why this is so much better. But also, if you can market it in different ways. So at Shook, for a number of years, we've had a weekly video that my team, the learning and development team at Shook, has done, where it's called a learning bite, where it's a 1 to 3 minute video on a given topic. And a lot of these have been tip of the week centric, where it might be, you know, advanced shortcuts for this or how to do this easier. But also just some general, you know, like how to do a variety of things with a variety of the applications. And then you kind of find something that's sticky. So you might get an attorney saying like, hey, I never knew that. And then that's a cue to work with that person on more because they're reaching out to you. So it's almost like, you know, you're dangling this thing out there that says, hey, you can do this. Did you know? Contact us if you want to learn more. And people do. And also we get new ideas and new suggestions. So it's really kind of a cyclical process where you might say, here's how you do, like you mentioned, XLOOKUP in Office 365 or Excel. And then that person might come to you, learn about that, but then say, I want to know more. So you're able to showcase, you know, more about whether it's Office 365 or Excel. And they might say, hey, did you know this? And then we're kind of able to beg, borrow, and steal and trade ideas and provide a more robust training offering for the entire firm.
Nice. Yeah. And that, again, segues really awesomely into my last question. So it sounds like, you know, you do tips at the week. I did say do.
I caught that. That's fine.
You do have tips of the week at Shook. And, you know, so it sounds like you're finding that those are effective tools. Do you measure, you know, how much people engage with those at all? And have you changed any of your strategies with tips of the week, for example, since we've been moving to remote work?
So to provide two answers to this, the tips of the week, what we call learning bites, have been effective because it's become part of our culture. People, when we say that at Shook, people know what it is, and it's on our intranet site. And if we don't have it there by 8 a.m. on Monday morning, like, we'll get emails about it. So I think that it's effective if you put the time and effort into it. You know, it could be an idea, I'm going to do a tip of the week, and then, you know, after a year, it kind of dies out, you run out of ideas. But we've really put a lot of effort into it. And like I said, get new ideas from people all the time. As far as whether are we communicating it properly, I think this is one thing that my team has worked very diligently with IT on to make sure that the messages that we're sending are read, whether it be a training opportunity relating to, hey, a new class is coming out, or a training opportunity relating to, hey, you need to take this because we're trying to make sure we're still ISO 27001 compliant, to even just the phishing or all of the security awareness emails. You know, they, on the internet, you see them a lot. On TV, you see them a lot. My kids actually just took a cybersecurity class yesterday on their iPads. And those things can kind of, you know, if it's not your language, those can kind of go by the wayside. And so we incorporate some of our messaging even into those. So it has that same look and feel and flavor, and people take it seriously. And so creating kind of a consistent communication channel that looks and feels the same, but still might come from the, you know, the important person at your firm, so that, you know, you make sure it's read, and then following back up with those people and using management as a way to say, hey, this is important. And then finding those champions and then pushing it, like I said, kind of like a cycle. So whatever that message may be, whether it be a tip, you know, security awareness, a class, whatever, it's really a great, keeps the internal dialogue going and keeps everything running smoothly. And we found that we've been more of a hot commodity since this pandemic, because people are sort of captive in their own homes or wherever they may be staying. And so prior to that, we'd have butts and chairs model where, you know, you have people come to a classroom, sit there, log into a computer, wait for it to load, and then you start 10 or 15 minutes later. Now we're able to start on the hour, regardless of time zone, ask questions, give answers, and it's been wonderful. And we've grown our training opportunities immensely, so much so that we actually have an open office hours using Zoom from 1 to 3 Central every day, where wow. People can kind of come in and ask questions, get answers, see a friendly, familiar face. And then using some of the other technologies within Zoom, we can break them off one-on-one in a breakout room to meet. Maybe someone just needs an answer. There's multiple people in the open office hours. We can break them off with the trainer, someone on my team. And it's really just turned into a great, you know, it's a great experience. It does not beat the in-person, obviously, but it'll do for now. And we've really reaped a lot of rewards from it. And, you know, it's been benefiting the firm.
That's awesome. So I really appreciate, you know, you answering all of my questions. You know, a couple of themes that I'll just call out really quick at the end. You know, it sounds like to really be effective with marketing these tools, and marketing training, you need to actually go all in on it. You know, everything you're describing is you need the follow through, you need the consistent messaging, you need to really be there, and you need to find those users, those kind of super users or super engagers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you need all of those pieces to have a successful model. You can't just put out a tip sheet and say, I'm done.
Right.
That's the real lesson I'm seeing out of all of your answers.
Yeah. And I think that if you can just kind of try new things, you know, try experimenting, don't trust what's always been done, and then have a little fun with it too, like be yourself. You know, if you want to break free from the diverse group of people pointing at the laptop, or if you want to break free from the stick figure cartoon guy on the slides, you know, be creative. And I think the response is, you'll get a great response. And I think also to kind of go back to how you and I met, Dan, you know, there's a wealth of knowledge at ILTA, and within the e-groups and communities, I think that now more than ever is the time to harvest some of this knowledge and make some of those communications, or make some of those connections rather. And then, you know, once we get back to whatever environment it is, you have some more of this knowledge and some more of these tools at your beck and call, and can start to implement them or try them or plan to try them in the near future.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Luke. This has been immensely helpful. And we hope that all the ILTAns listening to this podcast really enjoyed it. And you can find us virtually on ILTA.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.